That is so powerful, and Mary Ellen's baby is due today. I thought she was going to have it right there, pounding away on that piano with a tremendous blessing. Thank you. You pray for them. That baby will be delivered in Spartanburg. And today, it's amazing about babies today. I remember when my first one was born, I said, it's going to be a boy or a girl. And he said, that's right, boy or girl. Now you can know everything. And now everybody wants to show you pictures before the baby is born. I pass. Just wait till after and I'll look at the baby. There is a deacon's meeting tonight at 5 o'clock. Do not forget that, please. Am I on okay? Turn in your Bibles to the book of James, the third chapter. And in doing so, I want to talk about taming the untamable, the tongue. I have taken this chapter and have memorized it, and now and then I need to review it because the older I get, the more I have to review, but I enjoy reviewing God's Word that I've memorized. I'm not here to quote it to you. I'm here to preach on it today. But I want to talk about taming the tongue. It's interesting that James talks about a faith that has works, that does right. It is interesting that in every chapter, in all five chapters of the book of James, he has something to say about the tongue. For example, let's go through them rather quickly. Twice in chapter 1 of James, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 26 of that same chapter, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but he but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain, and that word means empty. In chapter 2, in verse 12, we find these words, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, so speak ye. Then I go over there to chapter 3. I think I left out at 3. We're going to cover the whole chapter there, so we'll look at those first 12 verses dealing with the tongue. Then I go to chapter 4, and verse 11, I find these words, speak not evil one of another. Wow. Then I go to chapter 5 and verse 12, but of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. There he deals again with the tongue. I thought about this. I've heard preachers stand up and they say, now what I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. Now, he wants to add those words, and I think we do that at times. My first reaction, I wonder if everything else he's been telling us is not truth. So we have to be careful with that. I want to deal with the potential of the tongue in verse 1 and verse 2. And then secondly, I want to see the pictures of the tongue. He's going to give us three of them rather quickly today. And then thirdly, the power of the tongue. Father, I pray that you will deal with our hearts in these verses because I want to tell you, our congregation, dear Lord, that we all have this problem with the tongue. Not anybody here that doesn't have that problem. I pray that you would convict us and convince us, Lord, that only you can change, can contain the tongue. In Christ's name, amen. Look with me, first of all, the potential of the tongue. I want you to notice that the harm that the tongue causes, the harm of the tongue. Look there in verse 1, he says, my brethren, be not many masters, but knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He said, for in many things we offend all, if many offend not in word. Now that word harm, somebody has taken each of those letters, H-A-R-M, hit and run mouth. That may be a good definition of the harm that the tongue causes. Hit and run mouth. I don't know how many times in my own life that God has just dealt with me, I'm just running off at the mouth. Anyone here beside me willing to confess that? Just saying things that you should never have said. I was at church last Wednesday night at Northside in Charleston, and I said something to somebody, and boy, that just, it literally crushed me. and it was just kind of off of the wall. I wasn't condemning anybody, but it just didn't need to be said. And I just did not enjoy the service till I made that right. And when I talked to that person, they didn't see that I did anything, but the Holy Spirit did. And that's what really counts. We see the harm of the tongue, hit and run mouth. You know, a lot of people have a good sense of humor. Others have a good sense of rumors. They like to take that tongue and they like to share with everyone else about somebody else. I don't know how many times I have received phone calls down in my 45 years in the ministry where some preacher has fallen into sin and somebody called me and said, "You hear about so-and-so?" You know, I'm not really interested. One person I said, "Listen, I'm not interested in knowing unless the idea is to pray for him." And, you know, I don't need to know all the details. I can just pray for them. And so we recognize the harm of the tongue. For example, we have to be careful even what we say and how we word it. For example, I can say this about Wayne over here today. Now, I know for a fact that yesterday you did not go to the bar, did you? Get a drink. Is that correct? Yeah. Now, what have I just said? And that's true. However, what I said and the way I said it would indicate there are times this man goes to the bar, takes a drink. With a tie like that, I don't know what he's done. But anyway, I just want you to know that we have to be careful what we say and how we say it, because I have just assassinated his character. Because you all understand I'm using that as an illustration. I'm telling the truth. He did not go to the bar. It has no intention. The harm of the tongue. I think to illustrate this, let's turn to a couple references for a moment. Let's go to, first of all, Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Turn there with me, because I thought about, I think I got the right one here. Psalm 106, verse 32 and 33. Look at that. I have underlined. Here's Moses. You know why Moses didn't get to go to the end of the promised land? Look at the verse. They anger, referring to Moses, they anger him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. And what he did with his lips came from his heart and the whole action. God just said, "You're not going to the promised land." Another illustration to me would be over there in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And so just turn there for a moment. I recently, as you know, gave several messages on the life of David in the evening services, but I thought about chapter 21 and when David had come to Ahimelech, the high priest. And look at verse 2. And when he came to, let's read verse 1. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David. Why was he afraid of him? Because there was something about his countenance. We find there was later something about his words. And said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" And then David said, and that what he said was a lie. And why, when he spoke and what he did that day, cost the life of Ahimelech and his whole family. As a matter of fact, if you go over here into the same chapter and you look there at verse 21, and Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, "I know at this day that was Doeg the Edomite, that there would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned," look at these words, "I have occasioned the death of all the persons thy father's house," with his tongue. What he said, that misled Ahimelech in believing that he was okay. He would never have sided with David, and if David would have been honest at that time. But you see, it cost his life. I not only see the harm of the tongue, but turn back with our reference there in the book of James. I see the hope for the tongue. There is hope. Matter of fact, when you preach a sermon, you sort of leave this part to last, but it's in the text, so I'm going to bring it out right now. He talks about how to really solve the tongue without even going too far. And the rest of the chapter deals with the problems of the tongue. But when I come over here to verse 2, many things we offend all. In other words, he deals with the harm. Offend not in word. I'll try it again. For as many things we offend all. If any man offend not in what? Word. The same as a perfect man. Now underline that, because there is the hope. That word perfect is from the Greek word, which has the idea of maturity behind it. It means to be mature enough. And I have found that sometimes in our lives we act like little children by the things we say. But maturity is so vital. Now what do we mean by maturity? Let me give you three thoughts here. One who is mature is one who graces his life with humility. He graces his life with humility. When pride takes over, we normally say things about other people we just shouldn't say. It's pride that does that. I like what it says if you turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, for just a moment. So turn over there to the book of Isaiah 57. And in doing so, I want you to notice what he says in Isaiah 57 in verse 15. A verse, again, that I've highlighted. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, that's God, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Now the word contrite is an interesting word. It literally means to be crushed in pieces over something that you've done wrong. And you know, if we're not careful, we say things, we just flippantly. They roll off of us like water on a duck's back when we should never have said it. And it should crush us. It should just, but if we have a humble spirit, it will affect us. So first of all, who is a mature person? He's one who graces his life, with humility. Someone asked me the other day, he said, how are you doing? When I had some issues in health, and I said, better than I deserve. And he looked at me and he said, wow, that's true, isn't it? With all of us, better than we deserve. Whether or not I'd go to heaven on the basis of what comes out of my mouth, pardon my grammar, I ain't going there. And neither are you. Thank God for his grace. The one who graces his life with humility, and one who, secondly, guards his heart from harm. He not only graces his life with humility, but he guards his heart from harm. Go to the book of Proverbs with me. And that Proverbs chapter 4. Turn there with me. Proverbs in the 4th chapter. Verse 23 is so vital. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now the word keep comes from the Hebrew word which means to guard. Interesting enough, the word diligent also comes from the same Hebrew word. You know what he's saying? Double the guard. Double the guard. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward what? You know, the first thing he deals with is what we have to say. And then you look over there, if you will, please, to Proverbs 23, chapter 23 of the same book. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, here it is, not only do we see that one who graces his life with humility, but one who guards his heart, because I want to tell you something, whatever comes out of your mouth first originated in your heart. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Wow. And out of the abundance of the heart, we say things that pretty well tell where we are spiritually. Thirdly, who is a perfect person? Not only one who graces his life with humility, he realizes, listen, the worst person on the place of planet Earth is himself or herself. He guards his heart from harm. Let me give you a prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Psalm 19, the last verse. Isn't that a good prayer? I think what if we every day get up and pray that prayer, and as we go and meet with people, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, because the meditations of my heart are going to come out in my words, they're going to come out in words. Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thirdly, who is perfect? Who is mature? One who not only graces his life with humility and guards his heart from harm, but one who gives the Holy Spirit his place of honor. Now that's important because he is the person of residence in my life. We know that in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? No, you're not. That your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Get this. He is not only the one, he is not only the person of residence, but he is to have the power as president. I'm to honor him. I'm to honor him, and he often is grieved by the things we say among ourselves. Notice not only the potential of the tongue to harm, and it can, there's hope as we grow. But secondly, notice the pictures of the tongue. Turn back to our passage there in James, and you see here the pictures of the tongue, and there are three of them. First of all, he talks about a beast that behaves. Look there in verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Now, two things. First, he puts that bit in the horse's mouth for discipline, and turn about their whole body for direction. You know, that's what we need. You know, there's another animal very close to a horse, and I think sometimes we act like him, a donkey. There's another name I'll not share from the pulpit. I had a friend, and when I was doing an interim in California in Atascadero, I was in a place, some of you are thinking about the word, forget it. Let's move on. Anyway, I was there, and I was living in the parsonage, and the next was a field that was a donkey, and he and I got along great. He became my friend because I fed him every day with carrots. I do not like carrots. Feed all you want to donkeys. And my wife took a picture of that donkey. And then she gave it to somebody who took that picture and put it on Facebook and asked this question, which one is the donkey? You know, I got thinking about there is time I act more like the donkey. And you do, and you do, and you do, and do, because we just do. We need to put the bits. And let me give you a bit of advice. Pray the prayer that I just gave you in Psalm 19, the last verse. Secondly, we see here, secondly, in a ship that needs to be seaworthy. Not only a beast that behaves, but he talks about a ship that needs to be seaworthy. Now, those ships were different than ours of today, of course. But there was a ship. Look at the passage. Verse 4, but also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet were they turned about with a very small helm, or literally a rudder that guides the ship. I am told the great German ship, the unsinkable Bismarck, was in the North Atlantic, and somehow the British heard about it, and on May 21st, 1941, that ship sunk. After being constantly bombarded and blown to pieces. It was trying to make its way, knowing that there were several British ships coming out and surrounding it, tried to make it to France, which was under German control. There's only one problem. A torpedo had hit the rudder. Instead of the ship going straight to its course, it kept going like this and turning around. They couldn't control it. I wonder how many lives have been sunk like the Bismarck because of a tongue whose rudder has been damaged. I'm told of a lady who came to the pastor one day and said, Pastor, and she had split the church with her tongue. I think men can do it probably more effective than women myself, but in this case, I'm a woman. And the pastor gave her because he knew she was coming, gave her a whole pillow full of feathers. He said, I want you to go across the street and I want you to empty that, all those feathers in that vacant lot. And then see me come back tomorrow. She did that. When she came back the next day, said, now I want you to go pick up every one of those feathers. So obviously, couldn't be done. The wind had blown them everywhere. And the words that we often say, we can never gather back. We wish we could. We wish we could. But sometimes we're a little spiritually retarded. Most of you know I have a handicapped daughter who's 44 and lives in a home for the handicapped. And Marilyn does not me for to tell this, but she's not here today. But occasionally, because of where she lives, she'll pick up a word that's not good. She may, at one point, tell you where to go, and I assure you it wasn't heaven. You can figure the rest out. I had a hard time getting that word out of her mind. But she's mentally retarded. She's not even saved, but thank God she's safe. She's like a little child. And the more that I would emphasize, don't say that word, the more she would do it because of her sin nature was so much in control of her life. She got that out of her mind, and I was glad for that. I asked God to remove that from her. I wonder if there are times when we should ask God, remove some of our conversations. They're just retarded. They're just retarded. They're just things we can go without saying. We not only see a beast that needs to behave in a ship that needs to be seaworthy, but thirdly, a fire that is fierce. Look there in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just to strike a match. And I spent 6 months up in Yosemite, in California, in the beautiful Yosemite forest. Pastoring a church up there, helping a church, getting a pastor and so forth. And they would tell me about the wildfires that they were just with great fear. Well, recently, as you know, in Yosemite, that fire just literally in the area where I pastored, it devastated. Animals were burned up, trees were hundreds of years to grow are no longer there simply because of fire that no doubt somebody threw a match. Or didn't put a campfire out, or whatever it might have been. And it literally took off. A little blaze took the lives of many of those creatures, and the scars will be there forever until the Lord comes back and redoes this earth. And I'm looking forward to that. Going to have a new earth, new heaven. That'd be great. When I was up there, there was a bear. A cub bear and his mother had evidently been killed or something, and that bear hung around where we were. Several times I wanted to just walk up to it, but you know that Paul reminded me he could kill me. I'm going to have my own bear. And I'm praying God will keep me from being a bear in this life, the other kind. You know one thing I pray daily? Lord, do not allow me to be a grumpy old man. I know I'm only 27, that's 72, but the older you get, how easy it is to find fault with what everybody else is doing, the younger generation. I wouldn't have done it that way. And God sometimes whispers, that's great, we're glad they're not doing it your way. Now he's going to give as I close, and I wish I could take time, almost thought of preaching two or three messages on this, but I'm not. I see the potential of the tongue, the pictures of the tongue in these three, the fire that is fierce, the ship that is to be seaworthy, and the beast that needs to behave, but now he deals here and he's going to give us, in closing, the power of the tongue. And in verses 6 to verse 12, he is going to give you six thoughts on the tongue. Six bad things about the tongue. Six bad things about the tongue. When my handicapped daughter would say something like that, what I yours that she shouldn't use, I would say, Chrissy, put your head down and be ashamed. She put her head down, ashamed. Mimicking, but not really meaning it, because she didn't understand what she was saying. But I want you to notice something here. Six thoughts as we close. The tongue is depraved. Stop. Just get that. Get that in your thinking process there in verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Underline it. A world of iniquity. That's depravity. Turn with me, you're not far from it, but James, or Romans chapter 3 for just a moment. Very interesting in Romans chapter 3. In verse 13 through 15, he is going to list there, he is going to list five organs of the body. Four of them deal with speech. Very interesting. Five organs of the body. Four of them deal with speech. Look at them. They're what? Throat. That deals with speech. An open sepulcher. With their what? Tongues. They have used the seat. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Four of them. The fifth one is the feet. Four of the five mainly deal with that, our biggest problem. You see, the tongue is depraved. Secondly, the tongue is defiling. It defiles the whole body. Look at the verse 6. Let's read it. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, said the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. In other words, the word defile was an interesting word. It means a spot. I remember, as you know, for years before I worked my way through college in the ministry. I worked at, although I'm colorblind, I have a beautiful blue tie on. To me, you may think it's purple, but you don't know any better. I sold men's suits, and I managed a men's department. I just learned to, back in those days, you can get any color suit you want, long as black or blue or gray or brown. That was it. And same with everything else, just sort of dull colors. It's okay. But I learned some things about that, and one of them is you get a spot on something, you always carry baby powder. Believe it or not, baby powder will remove a grease spot, just like that. I was driving down the freeway one day with one of my staff, and he said, Preacher, he said, that's a beautiful tie, but it's got a spot on it. I whipped open the glove department, pulled out the baby powder, sprinkled on. He said, what are you doing? I said, leave it there for 5 minutes. Went to the on the way to the hospital, took my hanky out, brush. She said, the spot's gone. The reason why he focused not on anything about that tie, but what? The spot. That became the focus. Those are called, you know, taking care of your stealth. That's a baby powder. That's really key. I don't know where it's in the Bible. You really carry some baby powder in the car. You in the ministry over here, you don't need to do that, right? You can pay me later for that advice. Because you see, the spot ruined the rest of it. You've heard my story about how I like fountain pens. This one here, Dr. David Gibbs gave me that fountain pen when I retired, and so I carry it with me because he's my good friend. But I don't know how many times I put it in the pocket and left the cap off. Until one day, my wife walked up to me and grabbed me like this and said, honey, that's the last time. that I'm going to fix your shirt. I said, honey, this hurts. She said, it hurts me more to have to keep trying to get the spot off. And when she let go, almost was a bruise mark on each side. I got the point. However, she went on a trip, and I did the same thing. I threw that sucker away. I wasn't going to face it. I didn't want my cheeks bruised any longer. You know, you can look at somebody in the ministry or somebody in a church and you say, you know, he's a nice fella, but the spot's there. The spot that is there because of the tongue. He just runs off at the mouth. Everybody's wrong but him or her. God help us. Thirdly, the tongue is not only depraved and defiling, but the tongue can be demonic. I don't know how many Christians I've seen act like the devil with their tongue. Look what he says here again in verse 6. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is slick these words, and it is set on fire of hell. The word hell, as you know, there are two New Testament words for the word hell, the word Hades. When someone dies, that's where they go. But I've got news for them. It's not safe. They're not going to stay there forever. They're going to be resurrected, and when they're resurrected and their body is going to meet their spirit, they're going to stand before the throne of God, and they're going to be cast into Gehenna. That's the word here. It's the lake of fire. It came from the thought that outside of Jerusalem, they had a place where they would throw all their garbage and trash, and they would throw it there, and then they would burn. There would be a constant fire. And I thought to myself when I thought of that, you know, what comes out of our lips are nothing more than garbage. I believe that's what he's saying. The tongue can not only be depraved, defiling, demonic, but deadly. Look at verse 7 and 8. For every kind of beasts and of birds and serpents of things and the sea is tamed and been tamed to God, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, and then full of deadly poison. Now, underline the word poison because it also can be translated arrow. Shoot an arrow. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Psalms again. This time, if you'll go to Psalm 57, here's what David had to say. David said in verse 12, I'm sorry, Psalm 54. No, I don't. I want Psalm 57, verse 4. My tongue, my soul, here it is, Psalm 57, verse 4. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the son of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. A lot of you go bow hunting. Anybody here go bow hunting? We have a lot in Charleston. They go. You know what? Somebody said, asked me one day, they said, do you ever go bow hunting? I said, unfortunately, I have with my tongue. I've had to ask God to forgive me. Because I would take that and shoot at somebody the arrows. Look at chapter 64 of Psalm, verse 3. Who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bow to shoot the arrows, even bitter words. Boy, that fits. That's the poison he's talking about here. The tongue is depraved. The tongue is defiling. The tongue is demonic. The tongue can be deadly. The tongue can, number 5, be disloyal. Turn with me back to our passage. Look there in verse 9 and 10. He said, therefore we bless God, even the Father. Listen, we come to church and we sing praises to God, and we just preach about Him, and we lift Him up. Look what he says there, where we bless God, even the Father, and therewith with the same tongue we cut somebody down. Same tongue that we bless God. Look there. I'll get the word here in a minute. Curse, that's the word I'm looking for. It's a word means to cut in stone. Oh, they aren't easily forgotten. I don't know how many times we've done that. One book that I was reading, it talked about a tombstone in England. And the tombstone said this: beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. If that couldn't be written about us. The tongue is so disloyal. I mean, it can say good things to your face and bad things behind your back. I remember somebody when I went through our lawsuit in Charleston, as you know, and Brother Gibbs handled our lawsuit. Of course, we won that. We're thrilled about it when we had the church discipline some people who sued us. Boy, the words. You ever heard this? Stick and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the biggest lie that people believe. Biggest lie that can ever be said. I've been hurt by words. I've been hurt by words, and so have you. Look over in Psalm 55. That's where I was headed for when I had to took a detour. But go to Psalm 55. Look there in verse 12. This is a psalm of David. And David, of course, knew what it was like to have people be disloyal. Verse 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me that I could have borne it, neither was it he who hated me that it magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself. Was thou a man my equal and guide in my acquaintance? We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. And then look at verse 21, because he's talking about the same people. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Oh, you're a great guy to his face. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Don't be that. 6thly and last, the tongue is depraved, the tongue is defiling, the tongue is demonic, the tongue can be deadly, the tongue can be disloyal, and finally, the tongue can be very destructive. And that's what he deals with as we close in verse 11 and 12. He says in verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and water and bitter? Let me just say this about that one. The tongue is the faucet from which flows our thought life. Let me give that to you, because that's really what these verses are talking about. The tongue is the faucet that you turn on from which flows our thought life. It's easy for Christina, who's handicapped, whose mind is only 1 or 2 years old, to say a word that we disapprove of. He's retarded. What's our excuse? How's that flows out of there, our thought life? The power of the tongue. Turn with me in closing to that psalm, that prayer. Psalm 19. Will you do that for me as we stand to our feet? Find that verse. Find that verse. Psalm 19. Let's all stand. Finding that verse. I want you to look at verse 14, and I'm going to just say that, let's quote it all together. Can we do that? You got it down? You don't mean not? Let's go loudly now. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, as we close this service, I pray today that you would deal with our hearts as only you can. With our heads and our hearts bowed before God for just a moment.